Shark family, we're back! Guess what we got this week? Bro Show. Andy Galpin, Von Roth, my boy Doug Larson, and me. This is the exact same thing that happens if we just get together on the weekends. Lucky for us, we just put the microphones on, and now we get to call it our job. That's why Shrugged is so dope. We just hang out with our friends, but with microphones on, and we talk about lifting weights all the time. But on a deeper level, because there's always got to be a deeper level, I get really, really stoked on these shows because for a very long time, like for as long as I can remember, I've always just thought that there was these super cool rooms that exist where the smartest people hang out and they make the biggest decisions impacting the most people and the way that they think and the way that they structure thoughts and ideas about a certain subject. And I've been really lucky to have awesome mentors. And I've always just imagined, like, what would it feel like if I went into a room and when I left that room, thousands, if not millions of people's brains would be shaped around the conversation that I had with those people. And I believe that I get to do that to an extent with Shrugged. Like, we get to reach a lot of people. And these are my friends. And every time I put this microphone on, I really feel like I'm having the best conversation in strength conditioning with the smartest people and influencing thousands and thousands of people's lives and the way that they view health and wellness and strength conditioning and lifting weights and all the things that I truly care about. And I'm super grateful that I get to do with these people because, man, I really believe that they're at the top of their game and they really are the smartest people, and I get to just be around them and surround myself with their education and their knowledge and the way that they're being. It's really interesting because I have a weekly call with a very good friend of mine. He's totally listening to this because he listens to this little monologue every week and then we talk about it and it's dope, but he made it this week. But we talk about kind of what is the pond that you're playing in, right? Like if you're a coach, it's really easy to be the smartest person in front of the 10 to 20 people that you're communicating with in your class. I think that the next level up is maybe being like maybe the manager of your gym, or maybe you're a gym owner and maybe you have to be the smartest person and lead the best conversation to 300 people, 200 people, whatever, however many people are in your gym. Like, you're in charge of that conversation and that education level, and you need to be able to have a message that resonates with 300 people. It's a very different conversation than having a message that resonates with 20. And when you start to build out from that, I think it's really important to understand that you have to grow as a person in order to be able to carry out a message that's going to reach thousands, tens of thousands, millions of people. And what's interesting to me is the correlations. My buddy's a financial advisor and I'm a strength coach and run this podcast with really intelligent, fun, entertaining people, but the similarities between him being a financial advisor and me being a strength coach are so similar in that he's always trying to have a little bit better of a conversation with a more qualified client to provide a little bit better service. And each day he gets a little bit better at that. And one day, instead of going from working with people that have $100,000 or $500,000 to $1 million to $10 million. And as he gets better, he becomes more and more qualified to have a better and better conversation. So it's not so much about climbing the ladder as being able to affect the way that people think and have a better conversation because you're putting the self-work into getting better at your craft and honing that skill of communicating and connecting with people. And to me, I don't necessarily see dollars and cents in the way that a financial advisor would see it, but I see the way that I can affect tens of thousands and hopefully millions of people over a lifetime on how to live a healthier, more well, more fit, stronger life. And that really is the culmination of continually trying to better my message and hone my craft of communicating. And the fact that I get to sit in a room with Galpin, Von Rothfelder, Doug Larson, my main homie, that guy, he's so smart. Like, I don't have an opportunity to be bad at what I do. I hang out with the smartest people. They inspire me to want to be better at it, because most of the time I feel like I'm the dumbest person in the room. And that's the coolest position to be in, because I'm just constantly learning, constantly honing my craft, constantly trying to have a better conversation so that I can influence more people. It's not so much just about growing the show or growing a business or growing a name. It's about really diving in and doing the self-work to become constantly better every single time we put these microphones on, to lead the best conversation, have the best message, and affect the most people's lives in the most positive way. And I think that's really important. You should find out how big the pond is that you're playing in. You should find out, if you're a coach, maybe what it would be like if you had triple the number of people in your class. If you're a gym owner and you're still arguing about sets and reps, maybe that isn't the most powerful message or the way to use your platform. Maybe there's a bigger message that you should be getting into and finding out how to really hone your craft and hone your message so that it resonates with more people. I think if we all just try and get a little bit better, we're all going to be able to affect this world in a much better place. That's all I really got for the message this week. Hope everybody gets into the program vault. We've had a huge 2 weeks over the last, we had a little sale last week. Man, all the people showed up and it was super cool. I love, we have this awesome little Shrug Collective private Facebook group and the videos are rolling in. I really dig seeing all the people. Like, I think you guys should know something, that I love talking to you, but even more, I love getting to watch you guys lift weights in our little private Facebook group, because I get to see the progress. You guys that are like really consistent in the group, man, I get super stoked learning about and watching you guys move and progress and understand just how beautiful the barbell is when you start dancing with it. Get over to the shrugcollective.com/vault. There's 11 programs in there. You're going to love all of them. If you have any questions on what you should be doing, you can hit us up at Shrug Collective. Send me a DM on Instagram and I will definitely answer it, because I like hanging out in the DMs. Shrugcollective.com/vault. $47, 11 programs, all the way through the CrossFit season, Olympic lifting, mobility, nutrition, meal prep, grocery lists, you name it, it's all in there. Your one-stop shop for everything, shrugcollective.com/vault. I have to talk about my favorite company of all time right now, Organifi. I want to give a special shout out to the coolest lady at Organifi. Her name is Susan Brennan, and I'm going to send her this little read here, because she's so radical. Truth is, Organifi does a ton for the Shrug Collective. It does a ton for Barbell Shrugged. We spend a lot of time on the road. We are traveling, trying to find all the coolest guests to bring to you guys. And without our sponsors, we just wouldn't be able to do it. Organifi, I literally take this thing every single morning of my life. The green drink is delicious. Most green drinks taste like absolute dirt and ass put in a blender. This one tastes delicious. And you get to save 20% on the green drink, the red drink, the gold drink. Go do all the drinks. They're delicious. You need to get your vitamins and minerals. This is a really easy way to do it. I know, because I do it and it makes me feel better every single morning. Get over to Organifi.com/shrugged. You're going to save 20% using the coupon code shrugged. Please get over there and do it. We love these people. They support us. We support them. We use their products. I take it every single morning. Organifi.com/shrugged. And get ready for the bro show. Talk to you guys soon. Yes. Welcome to Barbell Shrug, bro show. We're on a boat. That's behind us. Dr. Andy Galvin was here a little bit earlier talking to our nation's finest about all kinds of things we're going to dig in today, but we're here with Doug Larson, Dr. Andy Galvin, Adam Von Rothfelder.
Yeah.
And we are on this billion-dollar boat. I don't know if it's $1 billion, but the bees roll well, and This is super exciting stuff.
Well, technically, we're on a barge right now.
Billion-dollar barge.
You're not making it sound as cool as it probably could sound otherwise.
There are two giant ships.
They see these warships in the background. They just assume we're on one of those things.
Did I ruin it? Should we start over?
There's a gun right behind there. It's fully loaded.
What's like the biggest gun you have on your ships? What would it be called, though?
That is not...
5-inch gun, yeah. So we're on a giant 5-inch gun right now.
Just sitting on it.
We all have our own individually.
You would be blown away at how you can get 4 people on a 5-inch gun. But
5 is big for
a round. Colton, this is target. When you CGI in us on a gun.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Come on.
Yeah, our boy Colton on the cam back there. Mm-hmm. So what was the big talk about today? We'll call it a keynote if we want to exaggerate even more. The keynote speech today was about...
I don't think that's an exaggeration. I think that's what it was.
I like that.
You spoke to the
majority of the Navy today.
Close.
Yes. Yeah.
The majority of
the best. There are a lot of people in attendance.
No, I was just... I was very honored to get invited to come down and speak to this select group on the USS Champion.
There it is.
And obviously by that name, that is the single best ship in the Navy.
Obviously.
Is it a warship officially? Yeah, it's the best
minesweeper.
Minesweeping warship.
Yeah, if you're listening audio only right now, we're standing here with the CEO who invited Andy to come talk, and then Andy pulled us along for the ride to do a show while we're here, which has been a really cool experience. So thank you to you for inviting us out.
It. Yeah.
But. So he had I don't remember. I think it was maybe the book Unplugged or probably just hearing me babble on somebody else's show. At some point, invited me to come down and talk to the folks just about general health, wellness, fitness, how they can improve all their things. A little bit of what I do is I'm kind of a catch-all person. So when I work with people individually, this is really my job is I don't just treat one area or tackle one approach. So I try to fix the human or improve the human. And so I think it worked well in this context because I could address a lot of different topics at a reasonably deep level.
We actually do a lot of work down here, and it's very
interesting. Now it's all about you again.
No.
Just have to go right back to you.
No, what's interesting is when working with these tactical athletes, but some of the stuff that comes up in the questions that I overheard, sleep on the boats, nutrition, things along these lines. What are these guys dealing with on a daily basis? That's just, I mean, it can't be great. Everyone's out to sea.
Yeah.
There's no sustainably farmed animals getting dropped off a couple thousand miles out to sea. So
what?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I think that's you have so many challenges that are probably not that undifferent from what a lot of normal people go through as well, especially when you factor in young kids or irregular schedules with work. And they're not getting consistent sleep. They're not getting consistent nutrition. So when it comes down to treating, my philosophy on all these things are do the least amount of different. So whether it handles all these things, I want to say, okay, what's the biggest thing we can change that requires the least amount of effort in these situations? Now, when I'm working with a professional athlete, I take a different approach because I have a lot more liberty. We can change 20 things at once because this is what they're doing for their lifestyle. But in cases like this, I generally say, okay, well, what's not just something we can do that works? Because that's where people end up chasing their tail a lot. And this is when you get on the next thing. All right, so I'm on these 10 supplements, and then I hear another podcast when somebody else to talk about this next thing. I'm going to go do this. And they end up trying to do 50 different things at once. And if you listen to enough podcasts and you read enough blogs, you'll end up never stopping that. You're chasing something that you could get better, something that you just start taking. And I react against that pretty hard and say, like, that's not sustainable because what's the next thing? The analogy I give here is with golf. None of you play golf. You don't play golf.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to.
Do you play golf?
I was a 6 back in the day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I used to play some golf in high
school.
6
per hole?
Oh. Yeah.
I have some clients that are huge golfers, so I feel like I golf.
Okay.
The amount of times I talk about golf.
You know this, and Anders. Like, if you pay attention to marketing at all with golf, every single year they come out with new drivers.
Got to.
And every single year, this is the best driver we've ever invented. It goes 10% further.
10 extra 15% yards.
15% straighter.
It's perfect.
Every single year. Right?
Yeah.
And if you go, the new drivers are usually $500 to $600. Last year's model is always like $150.
Yeah.
So if I just buy in 2018 the 2017, which was the greatest ever invented, it's now $100. And this is exactly what happens in SMR. So you're buying the one, and no, this is the new thing now. Now it's, and you're constantly upgrading with a supplement. The eating strategy, the sleep, the lifestyle. Well, at some point you realize, like, maybe that's kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how many years in a row of buying a $700 driver you have to do.
You start to look like 10 Cup with all the things all over you. There's, like, these weird little hip-shifting things.
Or like Rodney Dangerfield in
Caddyshack.
Caddyshack, yeah. The button, the boom pops up. Electric. Whatever.
Goofy pants.
So it's trying to say, like, all right, let's try to bite down on the mouthpiece, if you will. Anchor our feet in the ground and live through this little storm of information that goes through and go, okay, what's probably the two or three things I can do at the center that will fix the most things? That's probably the biggest hanging fish, if you will. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like a less is more.
Yeah, sometimes.
Thought process.
One thing I'm curious about, earlier we were talking about six on, six off, 6 hours of work, 6 hours of quote-unquote off time, but you have responsibilities during those off times. So if that's your schedule, if you're 6 hours on and 6 hours off, and the 6 hour off you have many things to do in addition to trying to get some rest and trying to get a workout in, like, how would you manage a schedule like that and be able to recover and not just be a fucking zombie all the time?
I'd probably complain to my boss a lot. Terrible working conditions.
Work this up the chain.
File some sort of lawsuit. Demand extra compensation. No. Turns out that probably won't work. Nope. He says no.
No way.
CO says?
Yeah, no, I think it would be... I'm obviously thinking on my feet right now because I've never done that personally. Mm. It's always hard to talk about things you've never actually experienced. I always feel like a bit of a charlatan when I do that. But, I mean, I would say that...
An educated guess about where would you start with somebody if a client came to you?
The number one thing I would say is let's avoid the traps, right? Which are, we're going to figure out what works for you and what doesn't work for you. Mm. That would be the ultimate goal. Along the way, though, let's avoid the traps, which are let's not survive second by second. Let's not do, okay, I'm exhausted, so let's take more caffeine, let's take more stimulants, let's take more nootropics, right, just to get through the day. Mm. Because that eventually is going to lead you to, you're going to feel better, you're going to perform better, right? You're going to be in less pain and suffering. But that eventually is going to lead you in a position that's going to be far worse, right? It's just going to make the situation work. So let's make sure we manage any of those augmentation strategies. So we understand when we do them, when we don't do them, and what are the potential consequences. Like Brian McKenzie and I say all the time, like, there's no free passes in physiology. Mm. Everything comes with a consequence. And so if you have to have a nootropic to get through your day every single day, you're going to pay for that. If you have to have caffeine to wake up every day, you're going to pay for that. So my first thing would be, let's be careful of getting yourself into a strategy where we're relying too much on things that we probably shouldn't have to have under less than ideal circumstances. And that would be my first strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of the same concept in baseball where they play a game every single day and they can't recover, especially if they get done with their game at 10 o'clock at night and then they go out and they party till 2 in the morning and then they're back to, you know, having to practice and then compete again the next day, and it just goes on like that every single day. They start off with energy drinks and you know, and energy
greenies,
pills and
greenies.
Yeah, anything to like get a little boost in energy.
Yeah.
And then inevitably what happens is, even though they have energy, they're not actually recovering.
Not even close.
Those are totally different. Like, feeling awake and actually having, you know, muscle, joint, tendon, etc. recovery is totally different. So then that's where they end up actually graduating onto steroids, because the steroids help them recover when they have to perform every single day. So yeah, getting yourself into a trap like that where you're not sleeping as much as you possibly can, different situation with the 6 hour on, 6 hour off thing, like, that's tougher than the baseball schedule as far as getting some sleep, I'd imagine. But falling into the trap of trying to handle these problems with supplements or energy drinks, that type of thing, is a losing battle.
Yeah, it's the same thing along with that, or in association, would be Adderall.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, all right, I'm focused, so let me get on the Adderall too.
That totally happens in baseball also. They go to amphetamines before they go to steroids.
Absolutely. No doubt. And the same thing, I'm working with an NFL player right now. And that's the primary, like, when I have the first conversation, it's, you sit down for like an hour and they just start dumping. And you're like, okay. And they just, well, this and this. And, you know, it's like they give you everything. And you're like, you're trying to wade through everything. And it's like, okay. Oh, you're on 8 Adderall pills a day for the last 6 years. Got it.
Yeah.
Like, now we're going to start managing that.
You really need all 8? Can I have 2 of them?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Like, hook it up.
It's amazing.
I'm on a Vegas vacation every day of my life.
Can we barter service for Adderall?
I'll tell you that's wrong. You hand the extras to me. It'll be cool.
Yeah. You should really get off those and give them to me. I'll hold them. So things like that, like, those are always a problem. There's consequences to all that.
Sure.
Not to say that.
No, there's no free lunch.
There's no free lunch.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, you'll like you said, you'll sit down with somebody and they'll, in less than an hour, they basically just tell you almost every guilty thing that they have in their cabinet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, usually, I mean, for even for me as a coach, it's usually it's amphetamines of some sort, yeah. right? And I find that they don't feel as if they're addicted to it, and they just, like, jump to the next thing, you know? And they're always like, oh, what do you think about this thing? And they're always bringing the next supplement to me, yeah. you know, the next piece of, you know, research that they found on intermittent fasting or whatever it is, and then, like, with this nootropic. So when you're seeing that, what is the first way that you – like take that and kind of squash that with somebody, like how, like, because everybody's psychology is different,
yeah.
and like that reasoning with them sometimes is, it's not about education sometimes.
Yeah, I don't treat it the same with anybody.
Yeah,
because it's a very good point. I mean, I ask this question all the time. Like, you think you're addicted to the Adderall? No. I just get super foggy in my head. I can't think if I don't have it.
You're right. Sounds like an addiction.
Having, yeah.
Just can you function on a day without it? No, not at all. But I'm not addicted.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, great. So there's a problem. I honestly, this is what I do with every single person I've ever helped. I really genuinely try to listen. And I listen to the other things behind that as well. Right. And then, like in the NFL player's case, I won't name his name because I don't love him, just for his own sake. But he's kind of one of these guys that's on the fringe of making a squad or not making a squad. Been in the practice squad the last couple years. And if you don't know the NFL practice squad, you make a living, but not a good one. If you make a day on the active roster, like, you're 10xing your income,
yeah.
or more, probably, right? And this is now you're talking pension plan gets starting to play, and like your future is different if you can make yeah. it on an active squad for 3 years, mm-hmm. than not being an active squad.
Yeah, so well,
like,
what's league minimum these days?
250 or
yeah, it's probably
it's like 300 grand, right?
Yeah, it's 250, 300. Yeah. Last time I checked,
but practice squad guys are like 50k, kind of depending. So
yeah. Here, you get hit by him who's making twice as much,
like, yeah. 10 times.
Yeah, yeah.
In oh, some okay. case. 50 times or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then once you're in, depending on sort of this stuff, and I haven't cut up a CBA, but, you know, 2 or 3 years in the league, you're on pension the rest of your life. So it's a huge deal. And after a few years, after 4 or 5 years, you kind of get given up on. So if you haven't really made an impact, they just go like, well, if I'm going to take a chance on two players, I'll take a chance on the rookie and see if he develops. I've already seen 4 or 5 years of you, you're not going to develop. Mm-hmm. So there's a tremendous amount of pressure on him this year in particular. Or there are guys that are in contract years. Like, it's a lot, too, when it's like contract year. They come up, okay. And I really listen. And if they say things, and if I hear language, the direct language or the subconscious language, they're like, they're not going to give up the Adderall, I'm not even going to breach it. Like, I'm not even going to bring it up. If they bring it up, what do you think? Should I come off it? Then I'm going to have a conversation. But if it's not even like a go, I'm not even going to try to get them to come off. It's just, there's no way to win that.
You got to pick your battles.
Exactly right. It's like with the two-year-old, right? Like, there's something you're going to choose to fight, and suddenly you're like, fuck it, just let him eat the cookies. I don't care.
Yeah, I think, though, like, when
or
we
have avocado in his hair.
But
whatever.
talking about professional athletes or, you know, tactical athletes that are on the six-on, six-off thing, when we're dealing with people that are living in the real world, there's a lot of second-shift employees or people that are working the graveyard shift, and it is freaking miserable. Like, I've done that before where I'm going 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., and then you get out, and, like, I remember the first couple weeks of doing it, and I was like, I'm going to get to the gym, like, after work. No, that crap sucks.
Yeah.
That ends very quickly. How do people manage that in their – and being – like, if you get off work, like, you think about somebody that works till 10 o'clock at night. They're basically throwing, like, a concert at night at whatever job they're at. Their stress is through the roof. Then they go home. You're not falling asleep till 1 o'clock. It may work for a couple weeks, but what do they do nutritionally or for energy – you know, they may not, like, instead of taking the Adderall or taking, you know, 2 40-ounces or whatever it is of Starbucks, how do we get through that?
The one is going to sound a bit repetitive, but it's a fun story. And then we'll go to the funner part, which is, like, the training aspect, what I recommend. And we could all wrap on that because we could all have probably equally good ideas on training. But the one thing that I'll go back to is don't fall into a trap. And I'll give you an example of I had my students in my nutrition class. They have to run a self-experiment. They have to change something significant about their diet for, in the short-term class, 21 days. So a lot of them will try a whole new diet plan, and three of them decided to go from 8 to 10 servings of caffeine a day to no caffeine for 21 days. And you go through the first week or some period of terribleness, right? And I had them track their sleep every night, track their bowel movements, track mood. And one of them went overboard, and she tracked how many times she woke up a night. And when she woke up, how tired she felt, tracked that all the way through. After the first week, all of them hit 8 hours of sleep consecutive in a night for the first time in their memory.
Yeah.
And then within that, after the next week, they all were sleeping 8 straight hours with no wake-ups consistently after only a week of no caffeine. Mm. And they came off it pretty good. And so my first answer to that is, I'm telling you, I promise you, if you just don't fall into those stimulant traps, you will be fine, because you'll start to realize when you're tired, you have no problem going to sleep. She also tracked how much time it took her and her memory from when she got into bed to the time she actually got into sleep. Tracked all these numbers over time. And when you plot this stuff out over only a couple of days, it's so clear that shit is going to be a short-term win, and it's a long-term loss.
Have there been any studies in which, like, we are just putting people in dark rooms to see how long it takes to catch up to sleep?
Yeah, you know, I can't speak too eloquently on that because I heard this from Mike Bledsoe, so really be careful.
Yeah.
Trust.
I don't trust him.
This is kind of like an old folklore one. I don't know if this is really true. This is not my... We have to bring on...
I always just wonder that, like, if you just gave me nothing to do...
But the classic story is you move to, like, 12 to 14 hours really quick. You start sleeping 12 to 14 hours.
That sounds baller.
So until a couple of weeks, and then you go then back down to 8.
So 8 is
right.
A number.
So Kirk Parsley actually said this on the show at one point, if I'm not mistaken. So Google him in the last show that we did with him. But if you have a
kid, though, there's no way, even if you're in a dark room, that you're going to sleep that many hours. It's like not even the fact that the kid's there, but if you have, like, these external stresses even, will the sleep still, I mean, is that?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, so Kirk's awesome. He's a sleep expert. He's a medical doctor, a former Navy SEAL, and if I remember correctly, you said the majority of it just now. Like, whenever they do studies where they put people in a dark room, or like in a cave, where like there's no days and nights and all that, just to see like what happens when you remove all the external cues. How long do people sleep? If they're already in some type of sleep debt, which most people are in some capacity, they automatically sleep for like 14 hours. If there's no alarm clocks and there's no one waking them up and they have nothing telling them what to do, so to speak, and there's no distractions, they'll sleep for about 13, 14 hours for like the first couple days or like a week. And then everyone regresses to 7.5 hours is like the average. So we always say 8, it's close enough. But if you're caught up on sleep, then 7.5 hours is about all you need.
Right.
So, like, with the example of the 6 and 6, maybe you just got to find a way to get to a total of 7.5. Yeah. Would be one way to do it.
And there's a couple of things within that. You have to be careful. Don't fall in the trap of, I'm just going to not sleep Monday through Saturday, and I'll just catch up on my sleep on Sundays. Like, that doesn't work. That was a week of sleeping for 12 to 14 hours. Like, that's what caught up on sleep means. Not, like, I slept in Sunday. Yeah. So I don't want you to hear this and misinterpret like, okay, that's great. That's what I do. So I just trash myself Monday through Saturday, like get home from the bars at 4 a.m. and then just sleep until noon. Yeah. Like, I'm caught up. No.
We tried it.
Yeah.
We tried it for years.
Trust me.
It doesn't work.
But it's actually what I was talking about with your crew earlier is I actually think it's good for you to go through some short-term sleep deprivation. It's probably good for you to challenge that system. The problem is most people live in slightly underslept, chronic sleep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm slightly overfed, slightly undernutrient, slightly underexercised, slightly underslept for a long time. And we don't have enough variation where we're swinging back and forth between extreme hunger, extreme thirst, extreme cold, extreme hot, really, really trained, and then back. This is basic periodization, right? I just took this idea from strength and conditioning and just said, well, let's apply this to the rest of our life. And I think it manages very well there. So I think going through a short-term bout, this is exactly what I said, is going through a short-term bout of 6 hours on, fine, great, but now we've got to match that with 5 or 10 days of excellent sleep, not 2 days, right? So let's find our shift or whatever we're going to have to be when we rotate off of that, if we can. We've got to match that with recovering. Then I think we're going
to
be fine.
So how do we do that with the training piece and getting to, second shift, third shift people that are trying to just chase one, health and wellness, and then if there is a performance piece with professional athletes that are literally playing baseball till 11 o'clock at night, shower, get home at 1, and then, shit, now I got to go to bed. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not an easy thing to do. Your rhythm's completely off.
Yeah, I think the obvious answer is time. So you just make those training choices as time-efficient as humanly possible.
Yeah.
If all this is like a stress, so like the little bit of like lack of stress that you can get, the lack of sleep that can develop the stress, or like the stressors from like the working out, obviously we have to look at stress as like this large compounding pool, right?
Yeah.
So if somebody's under like less sleep, higher intense work conditions at that moment, maybe working out isn't the best thing to do at that, right? Like,
obviously, very good choice.
Or like, right, or like, people who are in this high stress environment and they're stressing themselves with a crazy diet that is you know, intermittent fasting doesn't have to be crazy, but some people kind of take it that way where they're mm-hmm. like calorically super low mm-hmm. and they're not eating for hours, and then they're getting yelled at by their boss, they're stuck in traffic, and then they go and crush a 2-hour cardio session.
Yeah.
What do you say to that person?
Yeah.
Other than stop.
2 hours of cardio.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I worked out at Bally's as my first job as a trainer, and I just remember people sitting on like a stepping machine for 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody could tell this person to stop doing because nobody cared then.
There's more to your physical practice than just exercising hard.
Yeah.
That's what I would say is, okay, maybe if you're that person who's addicted to training every day, like, can we make it a move better day today? Can we make it a recovery day? Can we make it a mobility? Whatever thing we have to be. Can we just practice? Can we go there and practice, get better at skill development? Are we going to leave the gym and not be tired at all? You may not break really a sweat at all after you're good and thoroughly warmed up, but you just practice moving better.
Yeah.
That pays dividends. So if that person is like, I have to work out today, okay, fine. When the answer is really like, we need just a day off.
Well, I'm going to make an assumption that that person, whoever that is operating on a calorie mindset. Like, I'm working out is to burn calories. You
right.
burn calories by doing some type of movement for a long time, and that's like all they're really focused on. They don't care about like skills and developing like, you know, like adequate movement patterns. They just think, I got to burn more calories than I'm eating so I don't get fat, and so I'm just going to sit on a stair stepper for 3 hours, and that's just what you do.
Yeah, so fair point there. Two options on that one. Number one, it's far easier to not eat. It's far easier to eat less calories.
Way easier.
Way easier.
If you start breaking.
Bingo. Down,
if you start actually looking at the metabolic numbers, you're not burning 1,000 calories on the stair stepper or on the elliptical for 30 minutes. Like,
even if it says you are, which
yeah,
it might.
Right. It probably does. Like, it's not even close. You burn like 100.
It's so motivating, though.
Yeah, right? And that, you know, that Starbucks lollipop cake thing or whatever the shit that thing is.
Right, we're talking about this again.
We all need to go buy those. Every time I go into Starbucks, I see these little cake pops, and I'm like, who the fuck buys these?
The little pink with the white dots on
them. $2. It's a ping pong ball cake with
frosting on it.
Have
you ever had one, though?
No.
Okay, I have. And yeah.
Have you?
Okay,
yeah.
He's the guy.
Yeah, I'm the guy. Well, no, my kids.
You voted for it.
Is that the stick in your pocket right now?
My kids wanted one, and I was like, okay.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, that's what it was.
I took a bite of it, and it was straight crack.
It's only one bite.
Delicious.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, well, 188
calories later.
Yeah.
There you go. So the easier answer is that. The second easier answer, of course, that most people are privy to now is, you know, interval training, higher intensity stuff is per unit of time, it's just much more efficient. So just work harder. If you only have literally 20 minutes, fine. Just go really hard for your 20 minutes. I mean, if you look at Marty Gabala's stuff, if you want to look at cardiovascular adaptations, you can see that in as little as 3 rounds of 30 seconds as hard as you can. Three times if you're fairly unfit to kind of just like moderately fit. So you can get benefit. And those are very hard 30 seconds.
Yeah.
But it really doesn't have to be that time dependent if you don't want. If that is the unit that you've got to fix is time, it can be done in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
And that will burn you as much calorie. And long-term fat loss is generally enhanced when you compare unit to unit, higher intensity versus lower intensity.
Is there a direct relation to time and stress? So say, like you said, if you could do like a 20-minute intense workout, is that going to be like that much less stress than a 1-hour workout that's moderate? Could you, like, would there be like a, is there like a certain amount of time that based on like hormones?
I think it'd be really tough to, the one hard part we have about those two paradigms is you can't ever volume equate.
Got it.
It becomes really impossible. Using calories as a metric for volume is not really a good placeholder either.
Right.
So I think it'd be really difficult to get into. I mean, your basic point, right, and you brought this up earlier too, which is I think we do a disservice by teaching people body systems as a pedagogical tool. I think I talked about this last time on the show that I don't do that anymore just because I think it puts people in the wrong position. Like, I don't teach skeletal muscle and then the nervous system and the cardiovascular system. People don't really understand this. I also don't teach aerobic system versus anaerobic system. It makes people think that these things are separate. When they are, we've all heard this, right? It's one functioning unit, but people really don't grasp that idea. They still think of them as separate parts. And stress is the same way, right? So we have to think of them. I teach them as one functioning thing. I never tell them anything different. So they don't think about them as being, I don't tell them that, oh, when you do this, it's aerobic. When you do this, it's anaerobic. And so when I don't do that, they don't ever think that way because that's not how it works. So, I mean, you can think Eddie Jobe probably talked about that, right? That same kind of concept. the aerobic versus anaerobic thing. It's not functioning like that. So
mm-hmm. I really dug the piece that he was talking about with just managing like a sunburn is the same as managing the stress on your muscles when you're like, yeah. How long does it take you to recover? DOMS is nothing more than getting a sunburn to the tissues.
Yeah.
Different, but same idea of recovery, how long it takes for those cells to turn over. Just simplifies things.
This is what happens when you bring in Fullerton people. You get old.
Smart people! When we get into nutrition, though, these people on these boats, they're out to sea. What in these jacked up schedules, is there a way that they can kind of manage? Is it a macronutrient being slightly under? I feel like the amount of stress we talk about and how they're able to manage that is a systems approach, and it's probably not just, you know, yes, their schedule sucks, but how can they fuel themselves? Is it a higher carbohydrate piece, higher fat piece, longer sustainable energy? You're rolling your eyes.
I don't know. Like, I don't know what the food's like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So my
default. Probably not great, is it? It is not great. We have an official
that
word.
That was very well said.
Yes.
That was very.
I would not like to go on record, but it sucks.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would be my first piece is not worrying about macros or any of that stuff, unless it's like, oh, there's no protein on board. Then I'd say, okay, then bring that up. But my guess is they have that or they bring it with them. They can bring their own protein stuff. So it's probably fine. I would default to, okay, are you going to get fresh? Well, probably not. Like, you going to get fresh kale? Guessing that's not going to happen. Like, you're on a boat in the ocean for months. Like, this is not going to, or on a shift or whatever. So the quality piece to me would be much more impactful than anything else, is trying to do what you can to manage quality.
I don't remember the exact study, but this was years ago that I heard this, but it was something along the lines of sleep-deprived people almost always eat more carbohydrates than they do when they're not sleep-deprived, or people that aren't sleep deprived when they make those comparisons. So that's probably one thing to consider, is knowing that if you're in a situation where you're going to be sleep deprived, that you are automatically going to gravitate towards refined carbohydrates and sugars just as a natural consequence, whether you want to or not. People just tend to do it.
Yeah.
So understanding that's the case and then actively, you know, trying to prevent that by just saying, okay, like, I'm having this craving. I know this is what typically happens. I'm not going to do it, and I'm going to go eat something that's, you know, higher protein, higher healthy fats.
That's what I call my G.I. Joe rule. Remember G.I. Joe, right? What's half the battle?
Knowing.
Hey!
I didn't have the G.I. Joe reference. I'm sorry.
Are you kidding me?
That's why I gave you that stupid look like, someone save me. I don't know.
Knowing.
What does G.I. Joe do?
Half the battle.
Will we get thrown off base if we toss him off a rail real fast? I mean, just like, we'll get him back real fast.
All credibility is gone now.
But yeah, your point's right. That's my trigger for sure. I'm very obviously very good with nutrition. When I'm tired, that's my thing. When I come back from travel, I'm like, fuck it, let's get pizza. Like, let's do this.
Yeah.
The sleep thing is for sure my one. I'll notice every time I want something shitty, I'm like, oh shit, that's because I didn't sleep at all last night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that is very sensitive for me.
Pizza on sleep deprivation is critical. Oh. It tastes so good.
Amazing.
That
right?
Sauce, little and fat, can, little carb.
You can eat
delicious.
More too.
Yeah.
So, like, the tireder you get, like, you ever do the thing when you fall asleep on the couch for 5 minutes and you wake up and you grab the last piece of the box and then you eat it?
Yeah. Like, no, I was so full 5 minutes ago. I'm awake. I'm hungry again.
Yeah. I was listening to Dr. John Berardi, and he was actually talking about food quality, and he talked about the differences, obviously, with like organic and everything, but he brought up using like phytonutrients, you know, so like greens, energies,
totally.
and how some of these can be very comparable to like not getting the freshest things, and like that the differences in like the blood work weren't actually that different between eating these fresh veggies and having these greens drink something like from Organifi, like the Greens Energy.
Well, who's John Berardi? What has he ever done?
Yeah. He doesn't know nothing.
What's that guy accomplished? No, I mean, like, you have to be careful there, but I would fundamentally agree.
Yeah. He has this saying, like, consistency, not novelty, leads to uncommon results. And he kind of just talks about how, like, if you can't have this consistency in the sense of, like, this fresh food, well, here's like the science that kind of went behind, like, if you actually supplemented your protein with supplements, you supplemented, you know, with veggie, you know, based things, blood work wise, not totally different.
Yeah.
Not that much different.
The only issue I have with that is blood work is not necessarily a good surrogate.
Yeah.
Right. So be careful there. So in other words, I don't want people listening to be like, you know what? That's right. I don't want vegetables. I'll just take my green Organifi thing, then I'm good. Like, I'll just eat pizza, and like, as long as I get my green thing in. Adam told me it's the same thing.
Right.
John Berardi said the same thing. Yeah. It's not the same thing. The more and more we learn, I think I said this last time, I can't remember, but look at Graham Close's work with vitamin D. Graham has done the most work with vitamin D and came out last year with a new paper. Was like, oh, fuck, I think we've been measuring vitamin D wrong the whole time. Great. So now what's your blood work look like when you measure the right thing? Now it turns out there's a big difference, or there isn't. I don't know, but the tests are not perfect. They're extremely flawed. The same thing with the gut microbiota tests. Any of the blood work stuff we're on, I mean, most people have heard of LDL. Right. Oh, now it's the particle size and it's fibrin part. Okay, we get that now. We didn't know that a few years ago. So we're only as good as the tests, and the tests are not very good yet, and they probably never will be. So we have to be a bit careful on saying, well, it's the exact same thing. And I'm sure that's not what John said.
Yeah.
I'm sure
not the exact. He just similar. Yeah. And
but I'm saying that, I guess, is like anyone at home that thought they heard.
Totally.
That.
Yeah.
Like, you did not hear that. Yeah. John is not.
Warning.
There's definitely some value there, but it's only one component of all the possible things you could test. Like even just like blood markers, not even counting microbiome and all the other things you could test. There's like 2,300 different markers you could test in your entire metabolome. We only test, you know, 20 or 30 or 100, or depending on the test you take. Like, it's only a fraction of the total things that could potentially change. And even if those things are changing, we still don't really know what it all means.
No clue. No clue at all. Generally, we're so lost with that nutrition. The other stuff I say all the time is like, okay, we don't know what to test. We don't even know what that stuff means. And we don't know what's good. I don't know what's good for you.
Yeah.
I don't know where your blood work should be at. And anyone that says any different, like, that's a lie. I don't know. Those normative values are not based on really what you look like, not based on your heritage, all those things. So it's we have to be very careful with that. And it's almost like sometimes it's better to just leave the testing alone and say, okay, we probably know eating vegetables better than taking a supplement, vegetable supplement.
Dude, all the normative value stuff, like, when you're looking at blood markers or something similar where it's very intangible, it's like you're looking at LDL particle size and you're like, oh, you're within the normal range. You're fine. You're like, okay, great. This is awesome.
Yeah.
But if you take it out of that context and you put it into the physical world and you say, okay, well, what's the average mile time? I've said this on the show before, I think. The average mile time between, you know, someone, like the entire population, the range is going to be like 5 minutes to 20 minutes. And so if you go do your mile time and then you go to your doctor and say, I got a mile time, it was 16:50. They'd be like, oh, you're within the normal range. You're totally fine. You're fit. Get out of here. It's like, well, okay, I'm not dead. And I'm within the normal range. Certainly some people are worse than me, but like, that's far from good.
Yeah.
It's not even close to good.
Also on that note, with physiology, there's a clear better or good, right? I ran 5 minutes versus 8 minutes. That's better, right? I'm healthier. But
hold
with blood, that's not the same thing.
We're going to get into this when we get back. We're going to take a little break. More with Andy Galpin, who made a living out of just saying, it depends, and I don't know.
That's why he brought me on board.
We'll be back in a second.
I was rolling too well. I couldn't cut anybody off.
Shrug fam, hope you enjoyed the bro show so far. Got to give a shout out. Got Thrive Market. Been sponsoring the show for the entire year. We love them. I love getting the sweet package with all the delicious organic ingredients. Everything is nice and fresh, shipped right to my door. We've got an awesome deal for you guys. 30-day free membership, $60 in free organic groceries, free shipping. I love it. If you are on our email list, you probably read the sweet story about how my peanut butter consumption is a bit of a problem in the household. My wife bought 2 peanut butters from Thrive Market in the last time we did the peanut butter. She wrote my name on one and her name on the other, just like in college, because you got to protect your peanut butter. I eat way more. I didn't know how much more when I got to the end of the week and all of my peanut butter was gone, because Thrive Market puts together the most delicious organic peanut butter that exists. And I thought, she's probably at least halfway through her jar. No, because she doesn't have a peanut butter problem like I do. 2 scoops! What's wrong with her? Shouldn't there be more peanut butter gone? Luckily, Thrive Market is here. I've got a lot of peanut butter coming to the house to keep me fueled. Their peanut butter is delicious. You can get your peanut butter from ThriveMarket.com/shrugged. You're going to get a free 30-day membership, $60 and free organic groceries, and you're going to get some free shipping. So get over there, thrivemarket.com/shrug. $60 of free organic groceries, 30-day membership for free, and then you're going to get some free shipping. Also want to give a shout out to Onnit. Really dig Onnit. Loved hanging out down there. I love the fact that I get to take some Alpha Brain every single morning. Do you hear how excited I am about this right now? Yes, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain keeps me moving throughout the day. The melatonin keeps me down at night. It's a beautiful combination. I'm perfectly just riding all the waves of hypedness right up until the last bit of the day, then back down, go to sleep. Perfect 8 hours. And then I get to come back and do this whole strength conditioning thing again. It makes me happy. My life is fulfilled. I feel good every single day. Go to onnit.com/shrug. You're going to get 10% off all products, and you're going to get a free 7-day trial. That's 14 pills of Alpha Brain, the leading nootropic on the market. We can't wait for you to try it. Make sure you get over there, onnit.com/shrug. 10% off all products and a free 7-day trial, 14-pill bottle of the leading nootropic, Alpha Brain. onnit.com/shrug. Back to the bro show.
That's so.
Jesus. Oh, that shoots out mine.
Show up to the lake party with this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be Barbell Shrug tubing adventures coming to a show near you. Before right, we went to the break, yeah, we were talking about blood work.
I don't remember exactly what we were
values, running 16-minute miles.
He's just regurgitating
saying you were healthy.
You know what?
It was they don't know what happens in the mid show.
I remember.
That
so
gets edited out.
Yet again, I will do your job for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Did I bring the energy, though?
No.
Damn it.
You brought the good looks, though.
I love it. That's what I'm here for.
And the fragrance. I'm getting
fragrance.
The wind is blowing at his back to me.
It's beautiful.
It's good.
Anders.
If you can't smell me at home, you're missing out.
Scratch and sniff.
Doug was talking about how running a mile is, if you run a 5-minute mile, it's better than a 20-minute mile. And while we would grant you that, you'd be healthier, right? Blood work would not be the same thing, though. And that's a major concern. It's just because you have increased your LDL or lowered your LDL. That's not necessarily a better thing. It's physiology has no free pass. Hormesis and other factors tell us we have curves of toxicity. And we can extend this to vitamin, we can extend this to any real part of physiology, but most of the time, there is no more is better, less is better thing. It's usually a curve. So there's some level of toxicity or bad, and then if you get more, it tends to be better. But if you get too much, it tends to go back to being worse, and if you keep going, it tends to be toxic. So we can use any example you want. We will pick, since there's a lot of wind blowing right now, we'll pick air.
Air seems like a good one.
How much air do I need in my blood?
Well, that's exactly the question, right? So oxygen is a very good example. I don't think any of you are willing to go 15 minutes without it, right? So if you were out of air and I gave you a little bit of air, that would make your situation better. And if I gave a little bit more, it'd make it better. If I gave a little bit more, it makes it better. But if I keep going, oxygen is the most toxic thing on the entire planet. It will fucking kill you. There's no difference here, right? That's a hormetic curve. That's a very basic thing. Everything has a toxicity dosage. Water is the same thing, right? If you're dehydrated and dying of thirst and I give you water, that makes you better. I give you a little bit more water, it's even better. But there's a thing called hyponatremia where if you drink too much water, you can die from that. So everything has a curve there. In physiology, the problem with blood work and all those things is that exact thing. Is that if we don't know what normal is, I don't know where you are at on that curve. And so really, it's just a guess. It's an experiment.
And your ratios are going to matter too. It's not to the, you can't just silo one marker and say because it's a certain number that's a good thing. It depends on all the surrounding numbers that have an effect on that number are at as well.
Yeah, instead of thinking of whether we're talking about an individual marker in our blood, or a protein or a signaling hormone, whatever, it doesn't just do one job. Like we tend to personify physiology, and that's not the case. So testosterone does not cause muscle growth. Testosterone is just a fucking molecule. It's just a molecule. It does a bunch of different things. If you put it in a bunch of different mediae, it will do different things. It has more than one action. And so when we tend to personify them and say they're like, oh, this does that. No, because when you mix up the milieu and you change that, it has different functions. Right? Just like water is something you drink. No, water is water. You can drink it. You could do different things with it. It could be a lubricant. It could manage temperature.
It's not a good lubricant for the record. you ever try to have sex in a hot tub?
Yeah, viscosity.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah. Too much viscosity.
You have.
Well, you can do it. It's possible, but it's possible. Not a good lubricant.
Right. Anyway,
takes a minute.
Boss, is water a lubricant? See, thank you very much.
It depends.
The guy that runs Warships, Doug, he knows more about water. Lubricants and water.
He's had sex in the ocean
before.
It can
be an insulator. It can be an insulator and a conductor.
Yeah, it's all those things, yeah. Right? And so it has multiple functions. And physiology is really hard because when you think of it like this. Imagine that there's water in a bowl in front of you. And you take your finger and you put your finger in that water. It doesn't just change the molecules you're touching. Right, it changes the whole picture in the landscape. You push your hand in there, it moves over. Now that bowl is a different shape. That's how physiology is. When you move one part, it doesn't just affect that part. Everything else changes around it. So when you move two parts, now multiple things, and that's an exponential change. So just like you said, we have cross-reactivity between everything, hormones, protein, signaling. All that is cross-reactivity. This is why when you have multiple vitamins, there's an interactive or a blocking effect. So some vitamins block other vitamins. They enhance absorption of other minerals. Right, another, this is why we can't just live on taking exogenous hormones and minerals and not think we're paying any consequence. Everything matters. So everything is everything like that. It is extremely complicated. If you look and Google a map of, say, signaling activity, you can see like a dumbed down version. We're like, okay, AKT signals mTOR, which signals muscle growth. Kind of. If you look at the actual picture, there's 10,000 different signaling molecules that are responsible for that whole train. You just got the dummy down two-step version. And then when you move one and you don't realize, okay, actually AKT signals 85 other proteins that do growth, and it signals 30 that do muscle breakdown, and it does 80 that do nothing else related, and it signals 7,000 do nothing related to that at all. You realize like it's not a simple picture as that. So now that you're all just
holy shit.
We're all over here. Like,
you just said a bunch of things.
That as well as you're like, well, fuck now.
So actually there's something cool that I've been meaning to ask you off the show, but I was asking you on the show. You post something on social media a while back, and I know you've mentioned this potentially on the show before about like where does your fat go when you burn it? Like, does it just vanish into thin air? Like, what happens to it? And you post an article that sums it up, but I hadn't actually read the article. What did the article that you posted on social say, and is it different than what you normally are talking about?
So I would actually recommend people go read it. It's on CNN. You can see it on my Instagram or any other place you want if you Google around. And what I liked about the article is they're the first person or the first place I've seen where they actually put numbers behind this, and it tends to make it very tangible. Most people... This is basic exercise physiology. You remember being taught this. I remember sitting in the ex-phys class, so this is nothing new and organic to me, but when you start walking through the ways that you expel waste, oftentimes people don't realize that fat is lost through air. You breathe out your fat, right? So the quick answer is you breathe in O2, right? It goes in, you breathe out CO2. The difference is carbon. Well, what we don't realize is carbohydrate is a chain of carbon, and fat are chains of carbon. And so when you exhale waste, the end product, Eddie maybe have covered this when Eddie Joe was on, but the end product of all metabolism, whether it's carbohydrate, fat, protein, is three things. It's water, ATP, which is the thing you use for cellular energy, and carbon dioxide. So at the end of the day, it's all coming out as those three things. And if you're fully metabolized, that's it. That's the only answer. So when you breathe out fat or when you breathe out carbohydrate, it doesn't really matter. It all comes out as CO2. Right? Well, carbon has a weight. So if I breathe out more carbon than I breathe in, I lose that amount of physical weight. When I do that a lot, I literally start to weigh less on this planet. Mm. The cool part about the article is they broke down numbers. So they said, okay, the average person breathes this many times throughout the day. They breathe in this much air. It has this much carbon in it. It weighs this actual amount. And it walks you through, this is how much you breathe at night. So this is how many pounds you lose at night. And people know this, fighters know this. This is the drift, right? You go to bed at night. You wake up in the morning. You weigh a kilo or half a kilo, depending on the person, sort of left. This is why, because you're breathing out CO2 the entire time. This is how many breaths you take. And so it walks you through all these numbers. It's a really interesting article. I have a hour or more lecture on my 55-minute physiology series on fat loss where it walks you through this whole thing. I actually, people like the part where I walk you through the circle of life, and I explain to you how it goes in the atmosphere, what trees do, because we all know, you know, plants do the opposite, right? Plants breathe in CO2 and breathe out O2. They keep the carbon, and so they get bigger. And then what do to get the carbon? We eat the plant, right? And that's like what people don't understand is...
The middleman.
Yeah, it's just a circle of life, right? Yeah. And I walk you through and you're like, oh, shit, it makes so much sense. And this is why you can do anything to lose weight as long as you are ingesting less carbon than you're exhaling.
Is that kind of where they base the science off of, like with the Buttega method, like breathing and talking about how they... people talk about, oh, that's great for fat loss.
I don't know what that is.
It's like control pause. Control pause. It's another form of like breathing, the Buttega method, where they would do like these control pause breathing. You know, I mean, with all the breathing that's out now between WIM and, you know, two-stage and all this other type of stuff, holotropic breathing, they talked about how, breathing in, hold, exhale for X period of time, and this was like a great way to increase fat loss. I just wonder if that's, but like if they're saying if that's like some kind of correlation where like, oh, since you're exhaling, you're getting rid of fat, you know, if that was like where they were trying to go with this.
I don't know.
That's some parochial understanding
it's
when
it's
they
the right idea.
This.
It is breathing.
Right.
For sure. That's where you get it out.
If you're going to lose it, it has to be through breathing.
That's it.
So breathe more.
Yeah.
I mean, small amounts do come out in other places. But that may be what they're probably getting. And that's not the wrong idea. But the problem is if when you're holding, you're not exhaling. So it doesn't really matter. It's going to equate in the back end. What you have to do is put yourself in a situation where you're not consuming as much carbon, which means you're not eating as much. Or you put yourself in a situation where you're hyperventilating, right? And what happens if you hyperventilate?
Pass out.
You pass out, right?
I was waiting for something special here.
This question from G.I. Joe to the passing out part, I'm just off.
So can you think of a situation, though, in which you're hyperventilating and you're not passing out? When you're exercising.
Like
yeah.
And this is this is why you exercise to lose weight, is because you put yourself in a situation that where you're hyperventilating.
Yeah.
So I always get this question then, like, so if I just sit around and hyperventilate, like, will I lose fat? Absolutely, you will. But
your heart rate's going to go up.
How long? Caused you. You've just
you have a really sore neck.
Something will happen.
Yeah.
Turns out it's just not very effective. It's a very bad way to get yourself to breathe more often. Just exercise, you'll breathe more often that way.
Yeah. So in your studies, have you seen a correlation with like the metabolic system, like more fat loss with as you change people's breathing, like with some of the fighters you work with the weight loss? Have you been able to use breathing as a tool during their weight cuts or CNE?
No, it would, the numbers are so marginal.
Got it.
It would take, it's a long-term thing, really. And again, like we talked about earlier, it takes a lot of breath to breathe out 100 calories.
Right.
It's just a lot easier to not eat the 100 calories. So all the weight loss from those folks comes from nutrition. And they've got enough training shit. I'm not adding to their plate.
Right, like, right.
If we can get them to do breathing stuff, that's already a chore. And getting through that whole weight cost process is usually such a stress that I'm trying not to add. That actually goes back to what we were talking about earlier, where in this game, whether you're talking about a professional fighter or the person working the 6 hour on or the parent or whatever, it's not about choosing what to do. It's oftentimes choosing, I'm not going to do these things. Because you have infinite things that you could be doing. We all know we could be doing more of, and then the list would go on, right? And if you try to do all those things, it's a fail game. You're never, because then the next thing is going to come up. Shit, I'm not doing that. Shit, I'm not doing breathing drills. Shit, I'm not doing mobility. And you're never going to stop, right? And all of a sudden, you know, you have like a 4.5 hour morning routine.
Yeah.
Like just to get started to work. Like that's not sustainable. You can't do that. And so you have to say like, I'm going to actively not do this. I'm not going to choose this. I'm not going to worry about this. I'm only going to do A and B. Like this is it. These are my two things I'm going to do. That's what you have to do to sustain things and to win. So with those fighters, oftentimes, like a lot of times I don't even bring up any of the breathing stuff because they got too much other stuff that's on their plate. And I'm like, this person would benefit from it, but I can't do that right now. And in your mind, when you're coaching and when you're helping people, that has to be going on in your brain. You have to be going, okay, there's 40 different things that I think this person could or should do, but you can't necessarily express that to the person.
Yeah.
They're not going to succeed that way. You have to filter that and go, okay, of the 40 things, I think that these two things would be the best. Therefore, out of my mouth comes, Doug, do A and B. Don't even let them know the 30 other options in your head. It's not going to be helpful for them often. Some people are different depending on their personality, but more often than not, when I'm working with an athlete, those are all going through my head, and I make a strategic decision. I go, this is the most important thing to start, and then I only say that thing.
But I've also heard you talk about, though, when you – so maybe getting people back to health or wellness or weight loss, standardizing everything and then changing small things along the way. But once we get them to that point, I've heard – you know, you talk about like if someone's on like a super strict gluten diet or a gluten-free diet, and then they eat a piece of bread and now they're knocked out for the rest of the day. That's super unhealthy. Like, not you good. Should be able to adapt to that stimulus quicker without it being so detrimental. So when we're getting someone from sick to well, we're trying to standardize things by making small incremental changes. But then once we get from well to fit or whatever it is on that continuum, now we actually want to start introducing things that are maybe unhealthy or maybe not perfect slowly to adapt on a wider scale.
Yeah, the goal should oftentimes be to build resiliency. Like, we should have some physiological resiliency, because I remember, God, what was that guy's name, Doug? You guys had him on the show. He only ate vegetables. He was like 80 years old.
Fred Bisci.
Fred Bisci, right?
Fred Bisci's the man.
One of my favorite episodes of all time.
Oh, yeah. That guy's awesome. He's like 85 years old and just like fucking super sharp, like totally like cognitively just like 100% all there. Like,
trained with Joe Weider and all this shit, right?
Like, oh, yeah. He had an amazing background. Awesome show. We did it at Joe DeSena's place in Vermont, founder of Spartan Races.
So he only eats raw vegetables, right?
Mm-hmm.
For 50 years or something, that's all he's eaten.
Yeah.
And I think Chris asked him, like, don't you ever like sneak or cheat or whatever? Or somebody asked that, and he's like, I can't. I don't have the enzymes. I don't have anything in my stomach that could process meat. It's been 50 years since I've had a bite of meat or whatever the number's been, right?
Mm.
So the same thing is to your point, Anders, is you have to be careful with the advice of, oh, let's do an elimination strategy. Let's take gluten out of the diet, see how you feel, and then reintroduce it and see what happens. If you take anything out of your diet for 30 days and reintroduce it, it's going to be a shit show.
Yeah.
Like, the body is adapting. This is what it's doing at all times. Every fucking thing you do matters. It changes in response to every single thing. So if you cut gluten out of your diet for 40 days and then you reintroduce it, well, of course you're going to react poorly. You reintroduce anything new into your diet. If you haven't had dairy for 3 months and you bring it back in, you're going to shit your pants. Like, this is just, have intentionally, your body has figured out, I don't need these processing enzymes. Let's downregulate them.
Dude, how come no one ever talks about enzymes? Like, when we were in school, like, metabolism was all about enzymes.
Right.
Like, they are the proteins fucking running the show. All the reaction speeds are based on the enzymes and on the catalyst or the cofactors that enable those enzymes to operate. But no one ever seems to talk about it anymore. Like, whenever you make a change to your diet, having the enzymes change their sensitivity and whatnot, like, those changes are a huge factor, but it's not really mentioned very often in any conversations that I'm currently a part of.
Man, it's the golf thing. They're last year's driver. Everyone's on to the new thing, right? So it's like, now this one's a bit. But you think that last year's driver isn't important anymore?
And how are you going to go to the store and buy enzymes?
Yeah.
Like, well, no, you can buy some enzymes.
You can order them from, like, somebody was telling me you can, like, order from, like, Europe, like, this, like, parasite and these like enzymes off a website.
Well, a lot of times they just have like digestive enzymes and things like that, but that's not necessarily what we're talking about here. There's many thousands of enzymes, I would imagine, but there's probably not a very good way to measure them that's practical, I wouldn't think. So
no, we have to biopsy basically if you want to get a muscle one. It's very, very difficult. They are so transient, both the concentration of them as well as their activation state.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're phosphorylated or unphosphorylated, which is a fancy way of saying activated and turned on, right, or functioning, we see this happen constantly where after time, the amount of the enzyme will downregulate, let's say, but its basal activity will go up. So it's much more sensitive, or the opposite. And if you're not looking at both of those equations, you don't know what's going on. But yeah, Doug, like, you're exactly right. That stuff is so transient, it happens within hours, it changes. So if you're eating a lot of a certain food, you're going to have more of the enzymes to handle that thing. If you take it away, it's going to go away very, very, very quickly. Right? So there is something to be said. I'm not saying elimination diet stuff doesn't work at all. It can lead you to directions, but you have to just be a little bit careful of that. It's like, well, I took away all my vegetables, I feel better now. Okay, maybe. But now when you reintroduce, it's going to be a problem. So you have to give yourself the resiliency. This is the same thing that, when you had Mike Nelson on the show, he talked about metabolic flexibility. Like, we have to have this too. When you're talking about physical function, you should have the physical ability to switch back seamlessly from aerobic to anaerobic. Like, that's the point. You should be able to go from a lot of food to not food. You should be able to have a high carbohydrate diet day and not die. Like, it breaks my heart when I ever listen to poor Rob Wolf. Like, I hear him talking, I'm like, oh my God, the guy sounds like he's just in pain. Like, all the time. He's got so much shit going on. Mm. He probably needs to be very strict. And if he probably can't reintroduce, it sounds like, gluten, because he just, shreds him or whatever.
Mm.
But you know how he would get better at that? If he slightly introduced a little bit of gluten every once in a while, right? And he knows that. Like, he's, if you care to, like, I don't give a shit about, nothing you need to go out of your way to get gluten for.
Yeah.
Really, but like if you wanted to fix the problems, if you wanted to, and if he doesn't want to, fine, like he doesn't have to, but having resiliency is a very important thing for most people because most people aren't going to go 12 years without bread.
Right. Well, I mean, having kids, like the doctors we've talked to have said don't, like if you think, you know, bread or whatever is something that you wouldn't normally feed your kids, like don't not give it to them at all, because if they have zero exposure to it, then they're actually more likely in the long term to become celiac or have some type of gluten sensitivity, and that goes for dairy and probably shellfish and anything that they are potentially likely to develop any type of allergens to, et cetera.
I spoke to Gary over at Human Garage, and I always talk about this like Ferrari syndrome, I call it, where it's like you become.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I call it. Other people may say it too, but like I've always kind of thought of this thing as like Ferrari syndrome, because as we gain this information, and then we do these things, and then we become so sensitive that we have to have bubble wrap.
Yeah.
And like anybody who's ever known somebody who has a Ferrari or something, it's like you drive it down the street and then you go get a tune-up. That's kind of like the joke, right? Because like you hit a bump and it's off.
Right.
And a lot of these people, they everything's a bump to them, because they eliminate so many things.
Yeah.
Then they eat at that one restaurant that all of a sudden they didn't know had pine nuts in it. And these people are like,
contamination kills them, ruins them for days.
They're like pooping for 3 days, and their entire vacation's out the window.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the problem you run into, right? When life, it's fine when you're at home and you're in control of everything, but when life happens, and we talked about this with your crew too, like when you're out there, and then what happens if you become so reliant upon, in my case, a lot of times, the technology, or the stimulant, or the supplement, and then what happens when that's not around? You're so resilient upon that. Now you've actually put yourself in a worse position, right? Now you're a train wreck. Things blow up. So having that resiliency and that grit to be able to handle that physiologically, for a lot of people, is important. Some people may have a lifestyle where they have never had that issue, but most people, I think, need to be able to, because most people want to eat really well most of the time, but want to be able to have a beer once in a while, or want to be able to have pizza on a Friday after, you know, they do a CrossFit Open or some shit like that, and not just get hammered for 3 days afterwards. And you should be able to do that. And all that takes is a little bit of dosing. You know?
The gluten thing, when you are on that, one of my scariest moments, I ate some teriyaki chicken not knowing gluten was loaded in there.
Yeah.
And that happened to be one of the first dates with my wife, in which we went to a yoga class. And I'm in.
Did you shart yourself in a yoga class?
You have no idea how painful life can be until you're in like a 95 degree room and you're on like a first date and you're like, oh no, gluten.
Full lotus.
Is full lotus and gluten stomach. And you're like, oh my God, why? How did this happen? I like went back and looked in the trash can. I was like, oh no, teriyaki is just gluten. They changed the word. I'm dying. No wonder. That was a terrible spot to be in.
Are you that sensitive to gluten?
Not anymore, because I decided paleo was the stupidest thing I'd ever heard of, because it's not sustainable. And now I'm pretty okay with everything except canola oil from restaurants. But man, I used to be super, super.
But that's also because you're so restrictive of it, right?
Yeah, it was 100%. I probably didn't eat gluten just because I thought it was performance-based, like, nutrition. Ooh. For year and a half. And then all of a sudden, it's like, here I am in this yoga class trying to impress this girl. Frightening!
You know, it's one of the conversations I've heard you in, and it was Joe Rogan, maybe, that you were talking about the wrestler who you worked with.
Oh, yeah.
Right, where she developed such a, like, an intolerance, or she was so strict.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That you had to, like, strip her of everything and then put everything back in a systematic sense.
Yep.
And I know that, like, ketones and all these things were involved.
Yep.
But this is like an extreme scenario.
Yeah.
Of this conversation.
And that's somebody whose whole life was dedicated to that.
Yeah.
And she had nothing else, no kids, no job. She had a single goal for 2 years.
And win 2 years gold.
I'm trying to win gold in Rio 2 years from now. And that was basically the only thing in her life. And so that's an extreme situation, because she's young, massively disciplined, and has sponsorship. Like, this is her livelihood, right? She's getting paid to do these things. So those situations are not generally extendable to normal people. We were able to do some of that stuff, and we had to do a bunch of things that are very unique that I would never recommend to normal people. But she also had three people doing this full time for her. She had a team of people that this is their job, a team of people who our jobs were like to make sure to make the right decisions for her. Not usually, if you even have a nutritionist, you are one of many people that nutritionist is serving, as opposed to having, you know, multiple people dedicated to basically just her. So it was a bit of a different circumstance, and I would say generally what we did with her would not work for anybody else.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't work for her again if we were to do it again, and she would tell you the same thing. We would not do it that way at all.
I almost bring it up just to almost say, like, it took a team of professionals.
Yeah.
Where a lot of people, they go about this and at it by themselves with limited information, which is actually doing more damage.
I say this, man, all the time. Part of me wishes that we would make it illegal for people to get an exercise science degree. For that exact reason. Like, a little bit of knowledge in this area tends to drive people in a worse position. I swear, like, the one specific thing I would say is I think we should not make people allowed to hear anything about energy systems. Like, you're not allowed to learn it. Why? Because then they build training programs. Like, what are you fucking doing? Think.
No.
Like, you hear this, and I guess maybe I'll give you an example.
You just, like, described CrossFit right now. Like, I can't go more than 8 seconds on this because my, yeah, it's just.
Like,
yeah.
That exactly, right? Like, I don't have to go any further. That's exactly what I'm talking about. You're not, it's like, what? So there's, apparently sports only work in 5 to 8 second increments, 30 seconds, or an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Those are our only intervals because those are our three training. Like, are you kidding me? Like,
that's how long the muscle can hold a contract.
It's just nonsense. Yeah. Like, and I get it because, like, don't feel bad. They're trying to do a better job. They're going out, getting more education, more science. They want to be more scientific. Yeah. Everything is there. They're working really hard. But the people, if you've taken the information there and you've outsourced that, or you've thought past your own intelligence.
Yeah. You can't skip the beginner phase, though. It's like you have to go through it.
Out punch your coverage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is like, all right, you play a sport that requires you to go a minute at the same pace. Maybe do that sometimes, too. Like, what?
I'll ask people, I'm like, do you change your own oil in your car? They're like, I don't know how to. I'm like, yeah, the body's a lot harder. I'm like, you're not going to be able to change yourself either. Get some help. Some help.
Commanding Officer Christensen, thanks for having us out today. This is super cool.
Super cool. And it's kind of cold outside.
Yeah, we got a little breeze up here.
It's cool,
little
too.
Gust from the gods we were talking about. This is awesome. I appreciate you having us. Hopefully we get to do this again. I never thought we'd be standing on a boat here.
On a barge.
We're on a barge.
Have you not learned anything?
We're not on a ship. We're not on a boat. We're on a barge.
Tell
Doug,
Andy.
Have you considered firing anybody recently? Just for your company.
I'm always considering firing somebody.
He looked at me right away.
I was like, Adam, you know?
Job security. He didn't look at me first.
I'll second.
Yeah.
He was like,
yeah. Von Roethberger.
Oh, I thought you were looking at Colt now. I was like, I knew it was you.
Colton's the eyeballs for the rest of the world. He's good.
We can't fire Colton.
Job security. We
need Colton.
Colton brings jorts. No one even knows. He's decking people out.
He is
hard to get him off.
Show those legs off.
The only time we're not seeing Colton, or he's here, the only other place he's at is surfing. So we know where
now,
he's at all times.
I don't want to make any inappropriate comments, but we are in the Navy. And the Navy tends to go out on ships for months at a time with generally male-only crews, right?
Where are we going?
And traditionally it was male-only. So if you were to show up knowing you're going on a Navy base wearing jean shorts that are excessively short, I'm just saying, are we asking? Is this an accident, Colton?
There's a lot of teardrop quad going on over there.
I don't think so.
He could give Zach from Flexible Diet Lifestyle a run for his money on that little VMO there.
I'm just saying.
Make sure we get some of them quads in there. Bro!
I don't think the rest of the sailors missed your signal.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah. They caught it. They know what's going on.
Are those FITSB approved?
Yeah. Well, I know the military stance on that, but he's sending out flares.
Yeah.
Shots fired.
Yeah. Von Roth, where can people find you?
Man, you can find me at Strong Coffee Company or at Von Rothfelder, strongcoffeecompany.com. Use the BBS20 for 20% off. Get it right now.
Yeah, yeah. Andy. I highly recommend it. I love
delicious.
Me some Tron coffee.
I got to get you guys some more. You're probably out by now.
I am.
Out. I've heard amazing things about this. Doug has been talking about it excessively.
It's really good. I like it a lot.
By the time we all left my house, I had zero left. It wasn't even like I got to continue into the next week with strong coffee. It was just gone.
I'm very sorry.
2 days. It's all right.
I'll get you some more immediately.
That means it's good.
No, send it to me first, and then they can have my backups.
I will get it to you just as long as you stop talking shit about caffeine. No, I'm just kidding. I heard him like dropping all these bombs on caffeine. I'm like, shut up, Andy.
Dude, once you get some decaf, I'm going to start drinking even more of it. My wife's all about it if you got some decaf coming soon.
We are going to be doing a decaf, and we're using some other stuff for energy that's just natural.
Galpin approved energy.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Andy, where can people find you?
Let's see. When's this going to come out?
Who knows?
Okay, well, I'll be at PaleoFX talking
yep.
down
Ooh,
there.
Nice.
I'll be there. I'll be in Virginia at another SOCOM.
What are you doing there? Where at?
And that's special invite only, SOCOM. Can't go.
Where in Virginia?
I can't
Virginia
tell you,
Beach?
Man. No, I can't tell
I'll
you
let you stay at my mom's house.
Okay, now I'm here.
Yeah!
Oh,
see?
Dude, you're in.
See that?
They put me up. They take care of it. Yeah. I'll be out there. I'm going to get a lot of I'll be in Rutgers, New Jersey. Talking at the ISSN and Rutgers Human Performance.
Wait, is that thing? Where is that?
Rutgers
ISSN.
Yeah.
That's in New York.
I thought that was in Florida.
It's not the national conference, though.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I got a bunch of other stuff. I'll be talking a lot. And you can find all that probably out on nowhere since I don't have a schedule up on my website.
Slide right into the DMs. He'll send you the whole schedule where you can find me. Just landed in Virginia Beach.
Yeah, I just post. Yeah, that's pretty much what happens.
I love it.
I try to post on the socials at Dr. Andy Galpin. I try to put the talks up there that I can.
Doug, what do we got?
Since we're talking about schedules, yeah, we'll be at PaleoFX as well. We'll be at the CrossFit Games. We will be at more than likely the Spartan World Championships later on this year.
Where's that at?
We'll be at USAW Nationals in May. Spartan World Championships?
Yeah.
It's in Tahoe.
When?
The end of September, I think.
Oh, that's a good timeline.
We went last year.
That's a good time.
It was dope.
I'm with you. When the kid comes, we'll have a couple months.
Yeah.
Yep. Start have to sneak out again. I got to go hang out with the bros. I don't know what to do.
Me and Doug can help you guys coach you on how to sneak away from wife and kids.
Situation.
I have to go hang out with my friends right now.
It's my job.
The microphone is calling me.
You got to put another one for that time frame, the combat clinic, the NSCA combat clinic at UFCPI again this year.
Oh, yeah. We should do that this year. We missed it last year.
Yeah, I got to go. Forrest and I were just talking
about
it. It's
at the UFC Performance Institute?
Yeah.
No guarantees, but probably.
Ooh.
So
I forget what happened last year. It got moved or something like that, and then it didn't work with our schedule. I was super bummed about that. But yes, we should definitely go to that this year.
Yeah, you're always kicking things.
Oh, my God.
You're always kicking, punching
I kick
things.
Lots of things.
I know.
We have some... we got some mega speakers this year. It's going to be awesome.
Nice. Okay, dope. And you can, of course, find me on Instagram, Douglas E. Larson.
Right on.
Yep.
Shrugged World Tour. We just got all the dates laid out for you. Mm-hmm. PaleoFX, CrossFit Games.
UCW Nationals.
Weightlifting Nationals is going to be so killer.
Indianapolis?
It's super Kansas. Spartan.
Kansas. Was September the National Jort Convention that you're going to go to?
I don't know. Colton will be there.
Make sure you
short
make
shorts?
Yeah.
Are these Fitzby? No.
Yeah, they got to be. Make sure you come and hang out with Colton on the cam at Fitzby. You can find me on all the socials at Anders Varner. Movement-rx.com for all the PT programs. Get healthy. Move better. And then... iTunes, YouTube, subscribe, like, share with a friend. Come and hang out with us. Leave a comment. We read them, so be nice. And
commanding
thank
officer
you
even
again.
Told the crew, 5-star review, nice comment, or they're off the team.
Boom.
Yeah.
They're all doing it. You should do it too.
Yeah. We'll see you guys next Wednesday. Truck fam, hope you guys love the show. Want to roll through all of the fun things again? Make sure you're getting over to shrugcollective.com/vault11 programs. 3 long-term 18-plus month programs, weightlifting, flight weightlifting, muscle gain challenge, shrugged strength challenge. I'm never going to get that right. Program Vault is crushing these days. Love seeing all the PRs. Shrugcollective.com/vault. Organifi. Make sure you're getting the sunrise to sunset. Green, gold, and red drinks. Organifi.com/shrugged. On it. Free. 7-day trial of Alpha Brain and 10% off all products on it.com/shrugged and Thrive Market.
the peanut butter challenge. See how much peanut butter you can eat. Get over to thrivemarket.com/shrugged, and you're going to get a free 30-day membership, a $60 worth of free groceries, free organic groceries, and you're going to get some free shipping on that. So thrivemarket.com/shrugged. We will see you guys next week.